And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 93 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. What's up, T-Rex?
I'm ready to kick some ass, He-Man style.
There you go. Yeah, there's, like I said, we have a couple topics, you know, some just, you know, to get your mind thinking, you know, something different. We'll be doing a little mini comic and some other random things here and there, and a couple things from some fan projects. I'm sure one you'll have to say, and then one I'm going to say towards the end about a project about some figures. You know, really cool, especially if you're a fan of vintage-style Masters of the Universe. We'll be bringing that up as well. But, no, as for in the news, I don't think I've seen anything really new or topical. The one thing maybe was, I thought I seen something to where Warner Brothers maybe acknowledged about the demand fans were saying about wanting Thundercats classic style figures to continue, and I thought they said they might have an announcement trying to come up in a couple weeks. Like they heard what the fans were saying, that they really want, you know, how we really wanted the classic Thundercat figures to continue, and I think they said they might try to see what they can do. I think I seen that on a Thundercats Facebook page, and it had an actual like response or something from Warner Brothers. Did you happen to see anything about that or no?
That's completely news to me. I did not see that at all.
Yeah, so I guess that was kind of cool. It's at least cool to see that, you know, something like that hopefully could happen. But, no, before we get to this, I wanted to say this is nothing, I guess, at all to do with any of our main topics. But, you know, it's strange. You know, me being a customizer, a couple weeks ago, somebody added me to a group. And he said, Joe, I'm adding you, but I want to let you know people were, like, saying stuff about your work, but don't get insulted. I was like, okay, go ahead. What is the group? Add me to the
followed by a legion of insults.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, all right, let me come to this group. It's a group, and it's a group of fans from Argentina that hate customs. They hate vintage customs in particular. And the reason being is they say that we're butchering vintage figures to make new ones. Yeah, and well, here's the thing. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I mean, heck, if they want to hate it, they can hate it. That's fine. But I explained to them, I said, you do realize almost all these vintage figures I'm using, you know, they'd have the broken rubber band parts, so I have to make new rubber bands, they're chewed, they're whatever. It's not like, some were actually under the impression where you're taking brand new figures, or really good condition, and just changing them. You know, that's not what I'm doing with my customs, and even if still, if somebody wanted to do that, that's their prerogative. If somebody wants to take a brand new figure and then make it custom. But that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. It was like, because I went there and sure enough, there was a couple of my customs and they said, oh, it's garbage. And why would he do that? But it was fun. It was just funny. I've never been added to a group where guys said, hey, they might hate your work. So I was posting some other stuff explaining. And then they were trying to be cool. You know, they were actually nice, but I've never experienced nothing like that. I don't know. I had to bring that up. It was the most bizarre thing, but I guess you can see where some people sometimes where they're coming from, you know, just their opinions. I always wonder why sometimes people hate customs in general, but they think, I guess, we're butchering preserved pieces of history. But
well, if you're talking like taking a complete scare glow and somebody decides, I want you to turn them into, you know, one of Casper's three uncles from Casper the movie, you know, it just feels like, dude, why the hell would you take a complete scare glow and ask somebody to essentially destroy it because, you know, for the glow in the dark factor or something? Believe me, this is a completely made up example.
Sure.
But I have seen stuff like that, not Joe and no one else I can think of at the moment, where I had seen someone had customized figures using something like, you know, why would you, you know, waste such a beautiful looking figure that's in fantastic shape. It just, you know, unless the guy happened to have several at his disposal, you know, I get that viewpoint, but like you said, most people are not aware that, and Joe has told me many, many times, the figures he used come from dump bins at flea markets and junk sales and things like that, that they're beat to hell. Nobody would buy them unless they were, you know, so desperate to have a Triclops that's missing the armor, no sword, a lot of paint wear, and the eye probably doesn't work so, but that's your only option to get a Triclops, you know, it's, which I have done before at flea markets in the past out of desperation, but that's what Joe uses fodder, you know, he uses stuff, you know, or it's, they're in that beat up plastic dump bin at a flea market that's got marker and crayon marks on it. You know, it's just, it looks like, you know, you feel like you had to clean your hands after you dig through the box, that kind of stuff.
Exactly, which, you know, and I've done. But yeah, it's like you're giving them new life, you know, especially when you see one with a chewed off foot, hand, missing something broken, you can give it new life. That's what it's about. And it's just giving somebody some really cool piece that maybe they've always wanted. So I kind of had to just mention that really quick. Like I said, I'm still in that group, and I guess people are kind of respecting, you know, what I do now, or I mean, what I do a little bit more now, because they've never understood, I guess.
It's hard pressed to find people who are legitimately going to come out and be negative towards Joe Amato.
Oh no, there are. there's...
Well, I mean, you might see some douchebag who decides, you know, Joe, I really just don't like your work. You know, like this comment, you know, or something like that. So some guy that's just looking to, you know, I guess get heat, get some cheap heat by just coming out and slamming, which, you know.
Yeah, I love seeing what people can do.
What balls this guy has come out and say. But I mean, you know, I don't really recall, you know, people really coming out and, you know, other than a past experience, you know, since while we've been doing the podcast. But other than that, no one's really, I mean, maybe privately, maybe there's been occasions where, you know, you haven't told me that people come out and just, you know.
There's rare. It's rare that sometimes.
Well, see,
I mean,
there
it's
you
happened,
go.
But
first
I,
point. If it's rare, then, you know.
It's just usually I'll sometimes get them in messages. Some of the most bizarre comments you'd never think you'd see. But no, like I said, I just had to say that. And as for even new stuff or classics, I mean, heck, I mean, I love, you know, customizing those. And those usually, yes, you might as well say those are newer. But usually fans are sending me stuff. They're like, hey, Joe, could you take this figure and make it into this? You know what? Again, that's their choice. That's their figure. But, well, like, real quick, we got a couple people in the chat room. We got JSP again. Just want to say hi to him. Walter Grayskull. Oh. Yeah, he's there. Walter Grayskull's there. And Larry Hubbard. They're all in the chat room, and they've all had a couple little things getting going. And real quick, Larry said that he just took a new giant He-Man and a new giant Skeletor, and he created a custom Faker. And he's like, am I evil? So, but hey, that's pretty cool. I know a lot of people wanted a giant Faker. And I'll just cover one quick question from JSP before we get to start talking about our mini comic. But JSP said, hey, Joe, are He-Man and Masters Universe figures the only figures you customize? No, I customize anything from horror figures, Turtles, Star Wars, anything you can think of.
Silverhawks.
Silverhawks, yeah. Do Silverhawks. Do Thundercats. So, well, that's, like I said, that was just a completely side rant. Nothing super topical, but we're going to talk about a mini comic. And this one's a pretty action-packed one. And I'll let you start off since I did my rambling, but we're going to talk about Slave City. Now, this is a good one. Some Beyond Heaven Lodar, which is a good character. There's others, but go ahead, Tyler. Your thoughts on Slave City?
It's definitely one of the most action-wise, it's arguably up there with being, you know, the best of the best. You could probably put it in your top three with, like, Clash of Arms and Hordax mini-comic where. And I bring those up because there is so much brawling going on in this mini-comic. And this one, there's tons of it going on from beginning to end. So, and plus not
Larry Houston. Yeah, Larry Houston's good at doing that.
Yeah, we have to say that this is Larry Houston's work. So we love praising the hell out of, you know, the greatest mini-comic artist that the fans have ever seen. I mean, it's just the best. I mean, I got to put Larry and Axel together, you know, best of the best there. You
know? All right.
Sorry, guys. I know people all love Alcala and Martex era, but, you know, that's my three there. But yeah, this is Larry's work. We clearly do not know who wrote this, but before we kind of dig into, like, the fun details about it, this is like The Dragon's Gift. There's an episode of the Filmation series from season one called Tale of Two Cities, which is the exact same story of He-Man or Prince Adam coming upon a girl being attacked by some goons, so to speak, and she's a princess, and He-Man gets knocked unconscious, just like in this, and loses his memory and is picked up and taken to Targa, which is run by Lodar in the mini comic, and run by Queen Belina in Filmation, and he gets locked up with Garn, who's a black man in Filmation, mm-hmm. and who is a Native American Indian in this. So it follows the same story, and I can only makes you feel like, did some of the Filmation staff writers write some of these? That's a question I don't know if we'll ever be able to figure out. Is it the similarities between the Filmation episodes and some of the mini comics? Because Larry wrote Dragon's Gift. I don't know if Larry actually wrote the Dragon's Gift mini comics. So it kind of makes you think who from Mattel is writing some of these stories as mini comics. So
you wonder if Jane Zetok might have that answer, possibly. I wonder if he would even know, you know, who's writing some of these mini.
Yeah, that would be something that James might could answer. He may have even addressed it, but I have no idea if even James even knows that. He addressed it in his books that, you know, that there, you know, is also based on a episode of Filmation, or a mini comic is the same as this episode,
right?
But for like who wrote it? I mean, we know who wrote the episodes, so it kind of makes you wonder, did any of these guys dabble in the mini comics as well, like as a goodwill gesture between Filmation and Mattel? You know,
that could even be possible. Larry might even know. Remember the I think the Leech mini comic.
Well, see, Larry didn't even know that this, when we interviewed him the very first time, he had no idea that this was, first time. Well, I talk like we'd done before.
He didn't know about the Filmation version.
Well, he didn't know that Slave City was also done into a Filmation cartoon you know, black characters instead of Native American characters. So it kind of, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. That's when we need Robert Stack to walk him this trench coat out of the fog and say, no idea what the hell is going on here and who the hell wrote this. You know, if you have any questions, call the 1-800 number on the bottom of your screen now.
Yeah.
But, it's a fantastic story. Like, if you've seen Tale of Two Cities, you know, if you have not seen this, you don't have an individual copy, you don't have, you know, the big book here. I know my light's a little dark in here, but,
the big book of mini comics, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but He-Man gets locked up with Garn, and for Lodar's amusement, he puts him in the arena, and the winner gets to go free, and obviously the loser is supposed to be killed, and He-Man refuses to kill Garn. But they go into such detail that He-Man loses his memory in an accident, doesn't remember who he is when he gets taken to Targa, but he remembers in battle with Garn, just like in Tale of Two Cities. He gets hit in the head by Garn. I know who I am, and then just knocks the hell out of Garn. I'm He-Man, damn it.
Right.
It's such a great moment, and I, you know, you don't really feel bad for Garn because Garn's coming in He-Man with all he's got, too. So it's
just. Well, he's doing it because that's his way of getting his freedom, correct? He has to do it. He wants to do it because that's.
Yeah, so you don't really feel bad for Garn because he's trying to kill He-Man, you know, and he hits him in the head with a spike mace.
Yeah, he hit him with the spike mace.
You know, that's how he gets his memory back, is he got hit in the head with a spike mace. So it's, I mean, I'm just kind of skimming over the stuff. We don't, obviously, I'm not going to go through this, but then you get. Go ahead.
I was going to say, because it even seems like, you know, how all the kobolds, all the, you know, those henchmen, those warriors, which hopefully those will be figures someday. I mean, heck,
I love
we got an
army builder of those things.
Exactly, man. My God, if you gave us Lodar, give us the kobolds, because they have a way of speaking like, you know, we do this, me do that. And I even think Garn was speaking like that. Like, I don't know if they were trying to have him have, like, you know, almost, you know, like, you know, Tonto type of way of talking. Or talking.
Well, he speaks like an old folk Englishman. Ye be strong, but Garn shall win, you know. Like, when he says ye, like, you know, he speaks like a thespian, a Shakespearean actor, you know.
Well, okay.
Not when you look at this guy that you expect him to sound like an English gentleman.
Right.
But he speaks like, because in a lot of these books, they make it sound like, you know, they're speaking like a medieval time dialect, you know. Hast thou done, you know, bring me my loaf of bread, you know, that kind of, you know.
And isn't it something, like I said, how the characters could be so memorable, like when you think of Lodar, I mean, first it has, you know, him, obviously he's on the cover, but in this, you know, he's the guy that's, you know, running these fights, and he has, like, the ability to use magic out of his hands, and you see, he has quite a good back and forth with He-Man, of punching He-Man, backhand and kicking him, knocking him down. I mean, they had a good back and forth battle. So it's like, that's what made him real memorable. Unlike sometimes you see other read mini comics, you might just see a character, doesn't do much, and for some reason they still look really cool or badass, as they say. But this guy, he has the look, but he also can back it up. He's doing plenty of stuff to take in it to He-Man. But, of course, He-Man bests him at the end and sends him basically underground with the kobolds, which you then find out that Lodar doesn't have any magic powers if he's not around the sun and the moon. So you wondered what kind of cool backstory could have been with this character of like all his magic abilities, you know, and that would be somebody I'd love to see more expanded upon, you know, especially if, you know, like, let's say they ever reintroduce a new mini comic, not that it'll ever happen in vintage form, but if we got a vintage Lodar with a really good backstory, just to find out, I'd like to see him appear more because he seems like the kind of character that can, and he seems like he gets a bad rap, meaning the ones that have seen the figure that's coming from Super 7 in the classics form of Lodar, they say this guy's a Shredder ripoff. Well, he's not a Shredder ripoff. In fact, if I'm not mistaken...
That's new to the table, He-Man fans who don't have any other experience or have done...
Yeah, because he was out before Shredder. He was in that's talking about the vintage Turtles, you know, comic book when it first came out. Lodar was already conceptualized before Shredder, so he's not a ripoff of Shredder. I know people like to say it. I know it's very close.
Shredder came out in 84. This book was released in 84.
But written,
you know,
probably.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that a lot of this stuff was probably done in probably late 1983, maybe early 1984, depending on when the entire wave of 84 was released. So,
yeah,
no,
just called a coincidence. Yeah.
That Larry Houston decided, you know, he went to his local comic shop and picked up the first issue of Ninja Turtles. I'm going to draw that guy in a He-Man comic.
Right.
I think it's safe to say that, you know, plus, I mean, Larry specifically asked to do a wide variety of characters on the books that he did, which is why we have Garn and Reyna being Native Americans, why Dacon and Geldor are black men, and then the Little Prince and his grandfather, Double-Edged Sword, are Asian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just, you know, plus there's nothing about Lodar that look, you tell me that, you know.
I think they're Lodar, getting...
Because of the mask. People wore masks before Shredder.
The mask, and I think even like the shoulder pads with the spikes, they're thinking he looks like him. But they sure, you see it everywhere. They always say Shredder ripoff. It's like, no, it's not Shredder ripoff. Again, this guy was created before Shredder, at least in Larry's mind. I'm sure he didn't see, coincidentally, a comic that could have came out almost at the same time. But like I said, this was written probably...
Plus that book, the first Turtles book was really under the radar to the masses. So, I mean, of course, Larry is a big comic book fan. You know, he reads comic books, you know, or at least at the time he did, religiously. So I'm not saying he would not be aware of that book, but I feel like there's probably a 98.999% chance that Larry never even saw or heard of the Shredder.
Right.
During the time he's working on this, as well as, you know, with Marvel Animation.
Just what you call a very big coincidence, but I mean...
Yeah, which, I mean, come on. I mean, people who read comic books and see movies, there's similarities with so many movies, you know. People draw inspiration from a wide variety of stuff, and it still can be passed off as their own, but, you know, I've never thought that once. I don't look at any main character and think that, you know, they've copied, you know, I never immediately thought Meteors was copying Transformers, or the Rock Wars were ever copying Transformers. I don't look at anything in He-Man and feel like they copied G.I. Joe, Turtles, anything. Now, even they may tell you they wrote stories or designed with ideas in mind and make it their own, you know, like it. But I don't see the connection.
Like I said, especially when you're looking at this mini comic and, like you said, he's bringing in a lot of Native American characters. You know, I love that he does a wide range, you know, a variety of ethnicities. And also with, like, just the creatures, the kobolds. But, you know, how I put my poll up about what people would want to see, and people want to see mini comic characters, at least in a couple of groups, more than anything. But this is already loaded. You have this version. I mean, well, you already got Lodar, but you have this version of Garn. You got Reyna, which is the Native American female. And then you have the kobolds, and like you said, those are basically just army builders. So right in here, you already have three unique characters, one being one that people would do multiples of, you know, as long as they would release them single and not in some crazy thing like with, like the Skelcons. Those should have been army builders. So many people
so stupid and foolish to just shove that in with the Rotom. Like, what the hell are you people thinking?
Right.
Release an army builder as a single with a vehicle that's very expensive.
It's that you're going to be buying, I'm going to buy 10 of those Rotons.
By the way, fans, for all you fans who complain all the time, I'm giving you another middle finger on our way out the door here. For all you complaining and supporting our line.
Yeah, the Skelcon definitely should have been a single release, but no,
Yeah.
this one, yeah, this one again, like I said, we don't give all the details because we still want you to read, but I mean, for one that has just a basic, really good beginning to end story with, you know, a lot of unique characters and of course having a lot of action. Like you said, I like that. I always like how some of them do just the simple drawings to where like there's that one splash page where you just see Lodar and you see He-Man engage with the those, you know, sound effects, crack, zonk, bing, bang. But still, you could tell Larry really gets into what he was doing when he was drawing. You could
I
just
know he
feel.
specifically requested, like, do you mind if I just do a bunch of fighting in this particular one? And it's awesome to really see. Now, people want to sit there and say that the Alcala books were, like, so much more barbarian, like, you know what I mean, man? You're like, okay, have you it looked at anything in Slave City here? Everything that He-Man does in this book, like, from the moment he's taken capture and he's addressed to bow before Lord, he backhands the guy, the kobold that's speaking to him without even looking at him.
Right.
No, come on, that is not something we have seen He-Man do in a whole lot, where he just admits, I'm not taking your BS. You shut the hell up. I bow to no man. I'm like, that's attitude. And then to see all this constant fighting that goes on in this. I mean, we've got He-Man doing two back-to-back fights, more than probably any mini comic that we've ever received. Where you see nothing but, I mean, even though the main fight with Garn is done all in kind of one page, but you get a lot of small images of the fighting. And then when you get to the fight with Lodar, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, ends at 15. 15 panels of He-Man fighting Lodar alone. You do not get He-Man fighting Skeletor, Hordak, or King Hiss that many panels in any other mini comic.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, it was one full of action, but it was also cool seeing just, you know, another character, not ones we've seen a million times, but a completely unique character that actually took it to him. Unlike how I love, you
Yeah,
know, always give, yeah,
exactly.
exactly. And how, because, you know, how I love just giving Geldor a hard time for fun. I always say, wow, you know, that mini comic on the cover, it was so intense. You had Geldor and He-Man charging each other with a sword and axe. But when it comes to the mini comic, Geldor did nothing. He didn't even engage with He-Man. There was no fighting. And but this character looks so bad that you know you still want him. I was like, nothing happened. Well, this ain't the case. This is one character that actually did engage with He-Man quite a bit. And it wasn't He-Man just getting the upper hand in every single panel. It was like I said, it was trading back and forth. So it was good to see that, you know, that there was some good
And
trading.
this story too is such a, it's almost it's a classic tale of being thrown in a large arena for and to fight to the death for somebody's amusement, like a dictator, so to speak. I mean, even have Lodar drawn in the in the back after Garn's been knocked out, and he's got his thumb pointing his thumb down, saying, you know, like the like Roman emperors would do in the arena. You know, look, watch the movie Gladiator if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
It's just all these small touches Larry put in here to really build up this fight here. It's just this is the kind of stuff that we, I feel like all fans need to see in a in all forms of He-Man media. This kind of maturity that's not, you know, doing the whole blood and guts thing for people who want to say, I don't want to see violence in my He-Man stuff. Yeah, you pansies. I mean, this is the kind of balls to the wall, you know, big enough to come in a dump truck stuff fights that you want to see here. I mean, all this, I mean, how look, all these panels of He-Man actually punching Lodar in the face. You're not breaking away or anything like that, and Lodar's beating the hell out of him too. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we want to see He-Man doing with Skeletor and Hordak and King Hiss and Clawful and Beastman and so on and so forth. We need. I mean, this is just this would be a perfect example. If somebody were to come up and say, I want the rights to do a new He-Man cartoon, can you know, tell me what to draw from? Throw down Slave City.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and would you have a hard time arguing that no, you need to, I mean, like, this is the tone that needs to be set. You can look at other stories, but you want tone? Slave City.
Yeah, and what else is, I mean, the other thing that's good in this is, you know, seeing that He-Man, even when he didn't have his memory, knowing he really didn't want to fight or feeling like he had to fight for this guy, even without having a memory. It's like he still knows, I guess, basically the good of what's right and what's wrong. But of course, when his memory comes, that's when he really knows who he is. But you know what? The thing that I always found interesting, at least like with this, and you can almost get in a lot of the media with He-Man and Cringer, Battle Cat, Prince Adam, is Prince Adam and He-Man. It seems like they kind of have basically the same memory, one transforming to the other, but they still have a knowing of what to do
Well, it's the
and
same brain. I mean, obviously, it's the
yeah, it's
same
the
guy.
well, this is what I'm getting. No, what I'm getting to is you think about Cringer though. Cringer, right in the beginning, the first thing that's said when Adam sees Cringer, look, those kobolds are take, you know, after that woman, we gotta help her. Cringer says, let's get out of here. It's none of our business. It shows that Cringer, even though he becomes Battle Cat and is fearless and will do anything to defend, when he's Cringer, he really don't care. You know, it's weird. He's like, it ain't our business. Let's go. I found that kind of interesting just to see Cringer not even want to. Usually he knows he's scared, like, oh God, I know I'm gonna have to become that Battle Cat, and he
I
hates
see him
that.
saying it as like of trying to be rational, but why we shouldn't get involved. So he's obviously trying to cover up the fact that he's, going to piss himself for trying to approach the situation by saying it's really none of our business, Adam. We really should be getting back anyway,
It's yeah, just terrible because that Reyna is surrounded like by, I don't know, four or five of those kobolds, and I thought it was kind of
Well,
cool.
you look at the panel, the Heman comes into action. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. About tw 12 kobolds attacking this one girl, she's
And
got to
Cringer,
be scared.
yeah, he's got to be, but he's like, yeah, it's none of
Well, no
our business.
wonder, like, let's get the hell out of here, man. This is none of our business, man.
No, I could see it. I just wish he would have had, like, you know, kind of like somewhat the thought of bravery, like when he knows, okay, I know I'm not going to like this, but go ahead, turn me into Battle Cat. We got to help this woman. But Cringer.
It would be good because just like in House of Chakotay Part 2, when he says, "Adam, in 2 seconds, I'm back in the Royal Palace, so you better pull your sword now." I would love to see a moment like that in something like this as well, because that makes it so much more exciting because
It shows
he's
he
not
knows
just
what's
one.
right. Yeah, that's
I
what
love
you're
that.
right.
That's what makes that transformation so much more memorable, is actually specifically because of Cringer's dialogue makes that it just throws it over the edge. I can't wait till we do our Halloween commentaries for House of Chakotay. My God.
Yeah, that would be, no, that's a good one. I mean, that one's always a great one to cover. A two-parter. It's one that was actually frightening. You're not only fearing her, you're just the whole music, the atmosphere, the inside of that giant rat,
One of those two, I'm gonna be afraid to talk. We're gonna be like telling his our fans, you gotta watch this. Watch this now. Oh man, we're not even gonna be talking about like what makes it. We're talking about how great it is as we're watching it. But to
Yeah.
give everyone a heads up, that's what we plan on doing the 2 Sundays before Halloween. We're gonna do House of Chakotay Part 1 and 2 over consecutive Sundays commentary. So
Yeah, that'll
a little
work perfect
something
because
in advance for you. We've been planning that for I think almost a year.
yes, quite a long time. But well, so there is Slave City. Like I said, I mean, fantastic mini comic. If you got the big book, read it. If you got the little one here, read it. And if you don't, get one or the other, whatever you can afford or wherever you can get it in whatever form. I'm sure
I
you
mean,
can
I'd
get
love
it.
to have Princess Reina too. Like, I want both.
Yeah.
I want both versions of Garn. I think Aladdin has been addressed
Oh,
so
no
many times,
doubt.
but I would love to have a Princess Reina.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I was saying. I was like, this is just a no-brainer looking at this mini comic. She gets overlooked. And if you want another very cool, unique looking character, what other Native American characters do we have for a female in Masters of the Universe? I can't think of any figure we have, so that's what I mean. And she has a unique look. That would be she would be a fantastic figure. And like I said, the kobolds are just army building no-brainers. And of course, yeah, Garn. I mean, a big Native American. I know they're not going to give him any extra height, but I wish there was a way they could give him just a little bit of extra height. Maybe something in the boots to give an illusion that he's taller, because he should be.
Awesome. I mean, it's just the look of Garn, of this Garn himself, with the war paint, the mohawk,
Yeah.
the Indian motif outfit. I mean, he's just such a
He's
major factor.
intimidating. He's intimidating looking
Very
at it.
intimidating, and I just it would be so cool to be able to sit him on the same shelf as He-Man. Oh man, that's just it just goes to show you, as we have said previous episodes before, there are so many characters that He-Man classics could continue to keep making. So for people to sit there bitch and moan, there's not enough characters to be done anymore, that's why I'm done. It's like, you're not paying attention here, people. There is so many rich rich characters that would be fantastic on your shelf, you know. Of course, yep. You know, there's a few that I'm like, no, that figure does not need to be married, like Chef Allen. Like, it's not funny, it's not cute.
Think of that, Chef Allen with a big old cape.
A paint Super 7 for a Chef Allen figure.
Yeah, you get Chef Allen and you get the little Oracle cake that came with it. So
I don't want any of that.
You're going to get it. You're getting it. You're getting Chef Allen and you're getting a piece of cake with it.
I'll tell you what, if I'm guaranteed the movie rights and just to piss me off, I had to buy a Chef Allen figure, fine.
Then you get them. There's no doubt yet.
No, then they can take that Chef Allen figure and shove it up their ass. I do not want a Chef Allen figure on my shelf.
That's fair. No, it's not nice. But these kobolds, to get back with them, especially if they're going to give them some accessories, I love their net gun with those, like, missiles that, you know, it shot up, it goes. That would be a cool thing, just for the accessories. But, yeah, so that's Slave City. Like I said, if you get some way of reading that or find online, read it. You won't be disappointed, and you'll definitely want characters made from this mini comic into action figure form, no doubt, after looking at it.
I'm glad we talked about this, because even though, you know, people have said they wanted Lodar for a long time, I kind of feel like the book itself is not universally praised and held in, like, the highest regard. It's like, oh, it's the one with Lodar. You know, it's, oh, Lodar's in that, you know. Oh, on another kind of little note before we finish up with this, too, I believe this was the mini-comic that got a lot of heat with Mattel because of the cover. That parents had written in about, which it just kind of makes you feel like, what parent back in 1984 decided to take time to write a letter about this one mini comic that looks like He-Man's going to have his head smashed when obviously
you're joking. There was an issue with that, really?
I'm pretty sure that Lee Norling, the editor, had said that there was issues that they had gotten some bad feedback from parents.
Okay.
Particularly about the mini comics, and I think most notably it was Slave City, which I can't imagine my parents back in the 80s, like, they were just, I just could not see them going to such extremes to, oh, look what my son is looking at, I cannot have this.
You know, that stuff is the stuff that always annoys me, is when people get involved with things without actually reading anything. You know, like you said, the parent groups or all these other groups, they look at a cover and think, oh God, this could be horrible. It's like, yeah, this never happened in the mini comic. He doesn't get decapitated. He's never in this position with Lodar. It's like, read it for once. And it's just intense. That's just to grab you, like, oh my God. But it's never to think, yeah, I'm sure He-Man's going to get decapitated. Yes, the hero.
Well,
that we get.
That, then he had all the publicity from people thinking that the cartoon was promoting, you know,
devil worshipping
and witchcraft and demons and things like that, just like those two idiots on that the Deception of a Generation who you're sitting there, it's like, hey man, Master of the Universe talking about demonic possession and witchcraft.
Never thought of that. Like I said, that is something I never thought of once. When I would watch Masters of the Universe on TV and read these, you know, mini comics, what I loved so much about it was an escape from reality. It was cool to think you could be in another world with these kind of heroes and these magical creatures. But I never at one point looked at Skeletor and thought, oh God, heal Skeletor. Let's, you know, ruin the devil. I mean, like, When does this happen? When have they ever? I have never encountered a He-Man fan that has ever said, you know what, because of watching He-Man, I worship Satan now. And, you know, I'm into occults. Where does that come from? And you're right, they always have these morons putting this stuff up, and they have to ruin things. Like, oh, it's, what a rant. I mean, it just would.
Well, I mean, they've done it even more within recent years over Harry Potter. I can't stand Harry Potter, but I would defend fans who are, you know, diehards of it, like I am with He-Man, against people who want to say that Harry Potter promotes children to, you know, practice, you know, witch, black magic, sorcery.
Yeah. Which they don't.
Are you people out of your minds? You know, it's like, for God's sakes, not everything is supposed to be, you know, Sesame Street and light and fluffy, you know, ABC cartoons and stuff like that, man. It's you know, Jim Henson said it best, too. Children need to experience fear. You know, through either old fairy tales, a movie that's meant for kids, but the villains or a creature in the movie is quite frightening. And you know what? I'm thankful that I was frightened by certain things in movies and cartoons as a kid. You know, I'm not in an institution. I'm not conducting, you know, demonic rituals in front of a big tree, you know, and then I'm caught by, you know, Peter Fonda, you know, out by Winnebago, and I have to go chase after him. I'm referencing Race for the Devil, if anybody knows, doesn't know what I'm talking about. Fantastic movie from the 70s. But I just feel like this whole idea of parents thinking that He-Man was it, and obviously, the people who worked on the cartoon, obviously had to deal with it with the
They
feedback
felt it,
they got. And
which
obviously they knew that the parents were not watching these shows at all. They're just looking at an image of Skeletor. And who knows what else they were looking at. It just felt
and it
like.
sucks that they get to have their voices heard just because there's a group of people that just, have to assume what they think something's about. And then they let their voices be heard so much that, bam, it's going to change the whole tone and way that the cartoon was flown because the original cart, I mean, the first season of Masters of the Universe had a different tone. But sure enough, after the parents groups got involved, here come the little more of the sugar coat and light and fluffy happiness. And that's why that got, watered down. That's why Princess of Power never got the good feel that it could have had. Could you imagine how it would have felt to have the real evil horde? I mean, of course, again, not devil worshipping, but something a little more serious and something to where you could feel this
I
is
mean,
right.
they did it a few times in She-Ra. Like there were a
But
few
you know what I
episodes,
mean.
but yeah, I know what you mean because obviously, I mean, you look just like the first season of She-Ra, hands down, is superior to the second season because and of course there was I think overall both series had such strong mature tones in the first season of both He-Man and She-Ra. Second season, you've got good ones sprinkled in there, but the overall tone itself has drastically changed because. For fear of all these, bitching parents, all these squeaky wheels.
You know what
I mean,
comes good of it though? It shows that there's the parents that really knew what Masters of the Universe was about, just like we did of enjoying it. Meaning, I remember when the new 2000X figures came out, to coincide with the MYP cartoon towards the beginning of the 2000s. I remember going into Toys R Us, looking for the 2000X figures, finding them, and as I'm grabbing stuff, it came this like little old lady. She looked like she might have been, late 60s or something. She's walking, looking for toys up and down, and she said, "Oh, is that He-Man?" I said, "Yeah, it's He-Man." She's like, "I remember that." She's like, "My son used to watch He-Man." She's like, "I wish they'd have He-Man on TV again, because that was times when it was good for the kids." And I said, "Yeah, so that's what this is." I said, "These are new figures." I said, "They do have a new cartoon." She said, "They always had a moral at the end." I said, "Yeah, they did." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I don't know who you're shopping for." And, of course, it ended up being her grandson. I was like, "Yeah, get him some He-Man figures." So she grabbed a couple, but it was cool to see she knew about the fun morals. I love seeing that. I mean, how random to see an elderly lady walking in the toy aisle and having a memory of He-Man as she's shopping, obviously, for her grandson, but she sees that and grabs some. I love that. That was a cool memory I had that, well, like I said, I didn't know her personally, but it was good to see. She knew the good meaning behind He-Man and the morals of that cartoon. It's not like she looks, she's like, "Oh, that's the Satan
Well,
figures.
see, I thought
Those
that's
are."
what you're gonna say. She would come up and say, "I remember that Skeletor. The Skeletor is the devil," and she throws holy water on you and tells you to repent for your sins.
Could you imagine that would
Hits
have
you upside the head with a big, heavy Bible, and
been my luck? Could you imagine? You sinning bastard, you're the one that's causing
Tattoo
evil in
Bates,
the
the
world.
water boy, calling everything the devil. That's kind of what that mentality was.
You see all the people working at Toys R Us saving me from an elderly lady throwing stuff at me, beating me with her cane.
Joe sitting and laying in the floor with his mask still on, even back then, and being
Blood
sprinkled
dripping out.
with water, the power of the elderly compels you,
That's terrible.
just,
But
I just want to just line them all up and just smack everyone up for thinking such things, I just, I it's, but just like another example is like when Kiss came out in the 70s. Every parent that didn't want their kid going to, or listening to Kiss or watching Kiss or whatever, going to a concert, all thought promoted, knights in Satan's service, to quote Detroit Rock City there. It's just ridiculous. And I, not once, and I mean, hell, my dad used to like try to quote Skeletor by mimicking his laugh. He would always reference Grandmere and stuff like that. Both my parents knew exactly as yours did too. And so many people who listen to this podcast, your parents clearly saw what you were watching and didn't think Horak and Skeletor or Evil Inn was anything that was going to tell you, make your kid go outside, get a couple of sticks together, and make some sort of voodoo, little statue of it and hang it in your tree, Blair Witch. It's just, I just feel like people are just like, you guys got too much damn time on your hands
right.
to be thinking that your children are being polluted like that. You know what? How about you be a legitimate, good parent? If you're that worried about it, it's just like when you show your kids rated R movies. you tell your kids not to repeat the words they hear. Or that, you know what, you probably shouldn't be seeing a naked woman at age 5, so we're going to fast forward this because you're not adult to see those kinds of things. You understand that as a kid when your parents are telling you what you probably should and shouldn't be seeing. Not, you know, I'm going to blame it on Mattel for putting this out, you know, because I have no legitimate responsibility and knowledge to actually conduct my child in a proper childhood upraising, there, to let them know that, you know what, there's nothing wrong with this. But you certainly don't want to go outside, get a big sword or something like that, and start slicing away at, you know, people, because it's just like, you know what, I think you're thinking too much into it. You know, as much as I really wanted a He-Man, I didn't go around, you know, with a sharp object and start poking and prodding at people and stuff like that, and thinking they were the robots from the 1987 movie.
Yeah, you could absolutely, like I said, anything could go to an extreme. Like I said, if you're not parenting, you know,
and if they do, if it does go to an extreme, they can't wait to blame movies or video games for it. It gives the media, we get to bring in all these, you know, crap for brains analysts and say, I blame Mortal Kombat for the fatality that happened recently here in our wonderful community here, or something like that. So
yeah, just like I said, just definitely parent your kids. And if you parent them and tell them what's right and what's wrong, they'll know that. But yeah, don't blame the cartoon.
Be a good parent. I think your kids are going to be quite all right.
No doubt. So, well, that was another good side rant. Now,
I certainly didn't plan on that one.
No, they all happen. But I'm going to make a post to see what people want to say, too, with their top two. But thought it would be something fun. This is a strategy, I guess, to help whether if you're a good guy, bad guy, however you want to think about it. But we're thinking, out of all the objects in the world of Masters of the Universe, Princess of Power, from the cartoon to the mini comics, any of the two artifacts items, if you could have them, what would they be? And they can't be the main items like the Power Sword, the Sword of Protection, Skeletor's Havoc Staff, but a lot of the other items. And I got thinking, you know, there's something I always wished I could do as a kid. I always dreamed of doing it. I always dreamed I could fly. And, you know, and I wished I could fly. Well, what's funny is those belts that the two kids got on the Christmas special, as much as if people want to pick on the Christmas special anyways, I remember seeing that. That's an item that I'd want. I know that you'd think, out of all the artifacts, how weird would that be? But you think of how that could be a good thing, like in the world of Masters of the Universe. Now, I know we have Stratos that can fly and Buzz off, but still, if you could be somebody that could fly to get where you wanted, in case in point, let's say He-Man. He-Man, the guy who, remember, couldn't use the Wind Raider to get across that hole, and then he couldn't jump across because, you know, I was going to do it to you, or jump across
because stop right in your face, Otto.
If he just had the damn hover belt, you could fly anywhere, and you wouldn't have to worry about if your vehicles go bad or something goes out. So you have that belt that can make you fly. The other one was I don't know the exact name of the item, and I know you do, but that helmet that Skeletor put on to turn invisible.
Helmet, yeah. It's just, that's
a no-brainer. Okay, I would love, out of all the items, I was thinking cordite and all this other stuff. I had so many scenarios, but I thought how awesome it could be to be a stealth flying person. Somebody that not only, you know, like I said, you can turn invisible, but fly where you want. I think those could be two of the coolest items, not only in the world for use to He-Man and, you know, whether you're a good guy, bad guy, for whatever strategy. But man, if I could dream of having something like that in real life, I think those two items could be two of the coolest things, to go invisible and to fly. So those are the two items I picked, and I'd be curious to see what other people have to say online, you know, when I post this poll, or even if anybody in the chat room can remember any items.
Yeah, chat room are there, you know, let us know the top two oddities, artifacts, weapons, so to speak, or tools or something like that that you would love to use for yourself there.
Yeah, so those are my two that I was spitballing out of the hundreds and hundreds. But yeah, what do you got? What were you thinking?
Well, the first one's definitely gonna be the cosmic key.
Ah, there we go. I got to miss time.
Just to be, you know, have the strap, you know, and just kind of put it over my shoulders, always walking around in the cosmic key. It's like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this right now. Punch in, you know, a certain code there, and I'm through a door right there on the spot. You know, I can time travel, reset a few things to fit, you know. And obviously with this, you know, Julie being sent back in time does not disrupt things greatly. So that's my mentality with this. This whole theory that every time people want to bring up time travel, you could, you know, disrupt the fabric of balance, you know, between, you know, the past, present, future, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no,
Is that what you'd use it for? Would you use it for time traveling or the ability to go from point A to point B, like how it could be used to just take you to Grayskull, take you to Snake Mountain, take you to here? Remember, it had like different.
Use it for all that you could possibly, because if I had one right now, I'd be going back to 1983, 84, 85, 87, and going to my local Hills and stocking up on Men on Card and buying extras so I can have, you know, a loose collection, a loose diorama collection, a Men on Card collection. And then another that I'm going to sell on eBay and have them all graded, you know, out the ass, you know, AFC grades, you know, 10.0 and this and that. And then, you know, just to, you know, go wherever I want, you know, help out people I want, you know, right a lot of wrongs. You go, you take the cosmic key, you can just beat the hell out of Hitler and you don't have World War II at all. You know, you end all that stuff, you know. Just to,
but mostly self gain, but mainly just self gain for you, just to get all the items.
Anytime I think time travel, I'm always thinking about going back and living in the 80s for a while, you know, going to my local Hills and then waiting for Predator, Master of the Universe, and RoboCop to come out, and Superman 4 to come to my local theater in 1987, going to see them, you know, being around
with big hair. Let me say something.
Erica had. Do what now?
Let me say something real quick. You brought up a good point. If I had the cosmic key, I would go back in time and I would stop them from making Superman 4. So great that you brought that up. Thank you. You reminded me on something.
I might have to go back to 1986 to stop them from making Jason Lives.
That ain't right. Real quick, in the chat room, JSP said Havoc Staff and Power Sword. He might have missed what I said. Remember,
you just didn't listen to it, Sam. The man said no Havoc Staff.
No Havoc
Staff. You have to come up with a different answer. Get back to Joe and come up with a different answer.
No Havoc Staff, no Power Sword, and no Sword of Protection. Larry in the chat room, he said that he would like to get the Diamond Ray of Disappearance. That could definitely be cool. Things you get tired of, zoom, I don't know, they're just going into some weird dimension. Especially if you're driving and there's that person that cut you off or is holding up traffic, you can't take it, like just move, zoom, Diamond Ray of Disappearance. I guess that could work.
That would work, you know. That would definitely be a quick way of getting rid of people that is, you know, people that are pissing you off in the grocery store or something like that, or some idiot at the gym's in there slamming weights and taking pictures of himself. No, I don't want to see that douchebag. Just send him, you know, to another dimension there.
Yeah. Oh, Tom Charlton in the chat room. Good man. He said, "Yep, stop Superman 4 and stop the Phantom Menace." So yeah, I think a lot of people.
Yeah, Superman 4. Well, no. What we do is we go back to 1987 and we fix all the problems going into Superman 4, so that way it is universally, you know, praised and comes out to be the movie that it should have been, as opposed to the movie that we got. I love what we got for its, you know, flaw, many flaws. However, use the cosmic key to go back and talk some, and smack some sense into Yorm and Menahem. And tell, no, you guys can't do this. Do not be cutting corners, or don't buy the property, and let Warner Brothers, you know, or somebody else. I feel like using the cosmic key can fix it. And you can make Superman 4 the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah, maybe all good. Right? Maybe good.
I'm not changing the 87 movie because to me that movie's perfect.
Well, hey, if anything, maybe could give Cannon more money to. We could somehow go back in time, get the money to give them a bigger budget, so they could make both movies a little more intense, a little better, and then the 87 movie could have lasted in the theater longer because they could have afforded it.
Could have lasted theater longer. They could have, you know, gotten a budget that would have allowed Shearer to have been brought into the movie. You know, we could have thrown a lot more money at the special effects and things like that, and to get the big epic sword fight that we were supposed to get at the end of the movie.
That would have been nice, yeah.
So Cosmic Key could do a lot of benefits just for Canon Films alone there. So I'm still going to push for Superman 4 to be done, but I will push for it to be corrected with all the issues it gone through. And my second oddity would be the In Control of the Crimson Pearl.
Oh, why? You want Bakul?
I want control of Bakul. And as we all know, he demands a sacrifice for his services. So naturally, I would make sure that Michael Bay and executives from Sony and Vin Diesel and a lot of Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg and various other people who piss me off, probably a couple of particular NBA players as well that I don't particularly like to, I just throw him down with Bakul. He gets what I want. I get two whammies. I get what, you know, I get rid of, you know, an actor I can't stand who's still in movies and I don't know why. And I'm in control of a beast who just got a hot meal. So then I can control him to do, you know what, Bakul, you know, I really just can't abide by this traffic jam here. So can you go up there and just scare the hell out of everybody? And I'll just kind of like Andre the Giant and Princess Bride when he's like, Fezzik, and he screams at everybody move, that's what I'm going to use Batcool for.
You know, I know, it's like I said.
I'm not saying I do not want Batcool running around causing harm to anybody else other than, you know, people like Michael Bay and stuff like that. So
no, because, you know, what I got out of this was, you know, earlier I said it'd be cool for me to turn invisible and fly. He should be stealth, you know, to help whatever team you're working for or whatever you do just to accomplish things. But I've noticed both of yours are self-gain and to use this for your own greedy needs. I feel like you would rule the world back then. This is starting to sound a little evil. You might be the villain in this story. Tyler is actually the villain in the story.
I'm in the beginnings of a great supervillain. That's what I am here, too.
Exactly.
I am a supervillain with a heart, though. I do not like to see good people suffering. I do not like to see people, you know, in bad states, whether it's physically or mentally. I like to help people all I can. But when I think of time travel instantly, I want to go back and get He-Man toys and see movies in the theaters the way it was meant to be.
Okay, because I was going
to stop to help somebody who desperately needed, you know, some actual legitimate help, whether it's be talking through problems or help them with some physical labor or something like that, you know.
Well, let's hope so, because I was actually starting to get an Unbreakable vibe, that movie Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson.
Like I
that's the thing. I thought you were – I was almost feeling like you were Mr. Glass. We just at the end of this movie found out who you are, and now you know who I am, that you ended up being Mr. Glass, the villain who's pulling, doing all these bad things behind the scenes, and we just found it out. But no.
What? I'm trying to make Superman 4 a much more profitable movie. I'm trying to, you know, make sure, you know what? What so many people got to experience the A's that I didn't get to experience.
You wanted to get toys. I want to get toys.
The villain here.
Yeah, you said I want to get toys and I want to make money off of them and I want Batcool so he can get people the hell out of the way. And
yeah, so that way Michael Bay did not destroy the Transformers franchise when it was finally able to make it to the big screen, and they keep Sony execs from screwing up Spider-Man and God knows what else, and they make sure they never ever had the rights to a live-action He-Man movie. And
there
also
responsible
for putting out the god-awful Ghostbusters remake. So, yes, I'm doing you and the rest of society a favor by getting in control of the Crimson Pearl and having Batcool get rid of people who are part of the problem to begin with here to make you and everybody else and their children living in a much more happier and sane world, man.
So he'll do the dirty work.
I'm staying in a crazy world here, Joe.
He'll do the dirty work for you. All right, he's your hired gun in a way. You just call Batcool. It's like, you know, let's take care of business, get Batcool. He's going to take it out. One thing real quick, we had JSP in the chat room. He was wondering if it had to be just items and things, because he said if so, he said...
It could be a weapon, but it cannot be the Havoc staff, any of the powers of any kind.
He was hoping...
heavy hitters.
I guess he was kind of hoping it could be like people, because he said he would just take Teela and She-Ra. So, well, JSP, I can see that.
Well, who wouldn't want to take them? I would like to take them myself, but, you know, I can't use them as a weapon.
No, but they'd definitely be dangerous. But
what?
I said, yeah, I said, those
people. This is red car, Joe. If you can't take it, you know, you might as well find podcast. Go.
No, I said
like Fluffy podcast.
No, I said those two girls. I said they definitely could be dangerous. So I could.
Kind of like Office Space. Two chicks at the same time. Two He-Man chicks at the same time, man.
Yeah, those are some. They're
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Office Space. That's the one with the stapler and all that stuff. What scene are you talking about? I don't know. What are we talking?
That right there has no idea what part of the movie I'm talking about. Just because, it's the one with the stapler.
I don't know. I remember. I don't know. What's that?
Brief, man. That movie is universally loved and cherished and quoted it all over the world, and yet you're the one. Yes, the one with the stapler, right?
Yeah. No, I know.
Watching Jason Lives on VHS.
No, I know Lumberg. I know all the stuff. I know when he. Yeah, I know, but I don't know every single part of it. But, well, yeah, so those two hypotheticals, yeah, those were, like I said, some of the items. It'll be cool, like I said, to see what people post online. But, well, I was going to say, before we wrap it up, there's a fan project, one that I want to mention. And this is coming from Walter Harris. Let me make sure I read everything right, that what he had. Walter Harris is, he's the guy that created Hammer of the Gods. Now, he's got some really cool vintage-style figures, 5.5-inch style, that he's going to be putting out here. They're going to have, I think, a whole Kickstarter thing, I believe, for this. I don't know if it's Kickstarter or if it's another thing, but I'll read everything just so you guys have the details. But these figures, their style is 5.5-inch. They have kind of like a Remco, more of a Remco, maybe Buck look. But this is what he says about the Punch-Out pre-order details. He said, pre-order goes live at Hammer of the Gods Customs at BigCartel.com. on Tuesday the 15th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. The Hammer of the Gods Punch-Out figure was designed through the collaborative efforts of creator Walter Harris, artist Alan J. Schell, and 3D designer and engineering wizard Brown Noise. The head and limbs are 100% original 3D printed parts that combine with the incredibly built and versatile Realm of the Underworld torso buck from ZoloWorld.com. Together, they create a figure that seamlessly fits into any 5.5-inch vintage figure collection while standing out in all the right ways. And he says, purchase quantity will be limited to one figure per customer. Price, $65 plus shipping, broken into two convenient payments. To pre-order your figure, you will need to pay a reservation, $35. When figures are complete and ready to ship, you'll be prompted to pay your balance of $30 plus shipping. And he said, shipping, their target is for shipping is December 2017, just in time for the holidays. Domestic and international prices will vary based on location and be finalized post-purchase. And the figure will be carded and come with the Bear and the Bird mini comic, which, like I said, it's a great little mini comic. Yes. If you like. And so that's how that is. Now, I'm going to try to bring up the pictures that he had of this. I'll try to switch it on my camera mode here. I'm not able to bring it up on my computer because I was having an issue with my computer, but I will at least bring it up to where we can see it on. Let me flip my mirror mode and the camera.
What kind of hat are you wearing? Is that like an army helmet or is that like a Gilligan hat?
It's a hood.
Oh.
It's actually a hood, but okay. And this is, oh crap, I lost everything. I'm sorry. Hold on. Okay, well, here's the figure right here. One of them. And let me get to, oh, I apologize. He showed a couple different angles. Like I said, for 3D printed, I mean, this is amazing looking.
Yeah, they're very, very good. 3D,
the head and the limbs. And then, of course, one of the other characters. I don't want to give out names because I want him to go ahead and give all the naming details. And that's even why I figured I'd do it like this compared to my computer is, you know, like it's a little mystery instead of just having super clean images. Well, at least you're getting an idea. And then he has a photo of Punch-Out with, I think, God, I can't remember if his name was Azul. I feel bad now. And then there's another character. But I just wanted to, like I said, show some of these characters that, you know, you can be eventually getting. These are just, they are fantastic looking. So this is, again, from Walter Harris, Hammer of the Gods. And again, for the, hold on, let me get this back up here. And I'll explain my hat to you. Okay, I think I'm back up. Am I back up there or no? Or am I off
computer? Yes, I see you.
Okay. Well, like I said, that was, let me just read where you can get the information and stuff. But yeah, he said pre-order goes live. It's Hammer of the Gods Customs at BigCartel.com on Tuesday the 15th at 1 p.m. So that's where you got to go this Tuesday. If you're going to be interested in these figures, they're fantastic. Of course, I'll put pictures up on my page. You know, I can do it on Fans of Power. We could just share it everywhere so you can get better looks at them. Maybe you can have the pictures to look right there. But I just wanted to shout out to Walter Harris and that. And yeah, so that's my shout out about one of the fan projects, which I love seeing because I love seeing people keep this stuff alive one way or another, you know, because it feels Masters of the Universe like. So it's just.
Yeah, all three of the figures, they look like, I mean, they would fit perfectly on the vintage shelf with the rest of the gang. So
definitely.
Yeah, very, very, very unique creations.
Yeah, so now, do you have anything that you wanted to update fans on?
Yes, the finally, the wait is over, and the Leech mini comic is now available for pre-order. And when I say pre-order, we're just going to be, Carson is taking orders now, and if I post on the various Facebook pages, and I will continue to keep promoting it as well. But what you'll be doing is just emailing him at I want a He-Man comic. It's all one word. At AOL.day. And he will get your information and he will give you the PayPal account to send the money to. And based on where you're located at, the shipping will vary, but the maximum amount shipping cost, I believe, is just going to be $370. I believe that's in American dollars as well. So you're looking from America in the States, you're looking to pay about $8. that includes shipping for this mini comic. And I think for a little bit extra, Karsten came up with a small little print about the size of a trading card of a close-up of Leech in a swamp.
I like that.
So, yeah, and if you want to pay a little extra, that will come included with it as well. If not, you just get the standard mini comic as well, and it will be written in both English and German. So you've got 14 pages in English, and then you've got the reverse side where it's all written in German. So you get, if you want to translate it and learn how to speak German, you can do that, you know, through this. But it's going to be, it's being made for, you know, the German fans as well, and pretty much anybody who can read it, I guess. But we're not printing in any other language, just those two. But we have a Facebook page that's up as well. I can't remember the exact name of it as well, but I try to post links for it in the Facebook pages. So just look for, you know, I'll try to, I apologize, Karsten, for that. But what we're doing with this is that with the pre-orders, we're taking exactly how many people are willing or have paid already, and then that's how many Karsten will print. He's only going to print, I think, a few extras to take to Grayskull Con in Germany in September.
Okay.
To sell at that. I think he said he was going to send me a couple, possibly. But for the most part, he's only going to print what people are actually signing up to buy. Like, he's not going to print a bunch of extras and hope people will buy them. So if you really are interested in purchasing a copy of the Leech mini comic, that's all it's going to be produced. Is if you want one, he'll make one. If you want five, he'll make five for you. But there's not going to be extra made for this because we don't know how well it's going to do. And I hope people enjoy it. I know that some people have been quite interested in it. I don't even know what the finished book looks like. I haven't seen the whole thing in its entirety, colored, drawn, inked, and all that stuff with all the dialogue. So I'll probably be seeing it at the same time people are getting theirs as well. So,
okay.
And that's what Carl wanted me to do. He wanted me to see it in its complete form, excuse me. So I'll be seeing it along with everybody else who gets it. And if this succeeds, we plan to do the Cosmic Key next.
Okay.
Since that was such a very short, short book and a very crummy story with fantastic characters, I've already got ideas on how to make that better already. The minute, I think it was Keith Hosgood, I believe, had brought that up, and I thought I was surprised I didn't even think about that. So I thank him for that idea. So if this is a success, Cosmic Key will probably be the next one that we do.
All right.
But people that buy it, I want people to be honest about it. If you didn't like it, didn't think it was very good, I want you to just say so. If you loved it and want to keep doing more, please say so. You know, let us know what you really think. You know, because I'm new to this, so I'd like to know if I could do better. I want people to say, hey, you know, don't be shy about it. You know, not once people, oh, I'm going to block it because you didn't like what I did on a fan project. You know, I'm not going to do that. So I encourage people to check it out. I hope people will be interested in buying. I've waited a long time, or what feels like an extremely long time, for Karsten to finally get this thing wrapped up. So it's ready to go. And again, the email is iwantaheman.day. Like I said, I want a He-Man comic is all one word. And I've posted it already. So just email them at that address to let them know you're interested in purchasing a copy or a copy with the Leech print. It will give you the PayPal amount information to send the money to. And then I think he's going to probably send out like a mass email as well to all the people that are looking to purchase it as well. But the shipping, again, the max is supposed to be $3.70 max. So that should cover, you know, various parts of the world. Wherever you're at, $3.70 should be the max you're paying just to get the little booklet shipped.
That's a good price, too. Definitely a good price.
Yeah. So you're $8 for a little mini comic. I'm very glad it's not like we're asking a whole lot for this. So I feel like it's quite reasonable for a little fan project that I hope people will enjoy.
Okay. Well, I guess that was our way of kind of, you know, how we always promote for something of what to do or something. That's, we promoted through, you know, some fan projects. Real quick, though, if you see this, like I said, this It's just a flexible. It's a cloth. That's all it is. But it looked like
okay, man, it looked like an LL Cool J kind of Gilligan's Island hat.
Yeah, I know everybody. Some people thought it was kind of
like an army helmet that you were wearing there.
Some people thought it was kind of a helmet. Nope, just a flexible hood thing. So, well, that's that. So let me just tell everybody where to go before we get off here. You got to go to fansofpower.com. Go to popculturenetwork.com. Go to HeManWorld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
I mean, look at me. Underestimated from day one. You wouldn't think I was a master of the universe now, would you?
Oh, you did stump me, son of a gun. I don't know it. What is that?
Oh, I give Erica credit for that. Well, she suggested, I quote from this movie there. So, Devil's Advocate with Al Pacino.
Oh, my. Wow, a movie I think I've seen one. Really? He said that? Wow, I've seen that movie one time. Yeah, that was pretty much
it. Yeah, of course, a line like Master of the Universe seems very fitting for this. So.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember. There was just something I seen the other day that had a Masters of the Universe reference. That sucks that I can't remember. It was just the other day, something on TV, and they gave a reference to something about Orko. What was it? Was it? Some horrible movie. It was called Welcome to the Jungle. I was watching it on Netflix. It had Van Damme in it. So I was
What, they reference Orko in that?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be an action movie with Van Damme. It's a weird comedy. Well, the guy, when he went onto this island, he became he became psychotic, like power hungry, and he wanted to become known as Orko. So when the one guy came back to that side of the island or something, they're like, you must address him as Orko. And he was like, Orko? And he's like, yeah, Orko. It's like an ancient, warrior leader. Like, he's giving all this like nonsense crap about the name. And that guy said, actually, wasn't Orko the flying little magician guy on He-Man? He's like, no, that's not it. So Orko actually got a shout out in a movie. How about that?
Wow, Orko and Van Damme in the same movie there.
Exactly. Who would have thunk it? So, yeah. All right, guys. Well, appreciate all you guys being in the chat room, and it was fun.
Thanks, guys. And hope just spread the word. Encourage people to come, because we want to make everybody in the chat room part of the show to talk to us, ask questions, theories, and all that stuff. So we want everybody who's a He-Man fan to be right here with us.
Exactly. So, well, thanks again, guys, and see you next week.
Take care.